I saw a young woman commit suicide. And I can't help but wonder where she was putting her hope, if she had any hope, where it was coming from. And that's the most important thing, because when we go through the trenches, when we're in the muck and the mire, that's what helps get us through, is the hope. When we can see the other side of it, or when we know that there's another side of it, that's what can help get us through it. Hope is an essential. And when I say hope, what I'm not talking about is I hope the Packers win. Or, you know, I hope the Raiders win, which is unrealistic anyway, right? I'm not saying I hope I get this promotion or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about hope, what I'm talking about is something more biblical. Truth be told, if we don't have hope, we really don't have anything. And where that hope lies is the most important part. That's the most important question we have to answer. Where does my hope lie? A couple weeks ago, I responded to a welfare check at work. And without going into too much detail, ultimately, I saw a young woman commit suicide. And I can't help but wonder where she was putting her hope, if she had any hope, where it was coming from. And that's the most important thing, because when we go through the trenches, when we're in the muck and the mire, that's what helps get us through. Is the hope. When we can see the other side of it, or when we know that there's another side of it, that's what can help get us through it. So today, with all the craziness going on around us, it's not difficult to lose our hope. So how do we maintain it? Where should it come from? Here in Isaiah chapter 40 is a very well-known passage in Isaiah chapter 40, and it starts in verse 29. It says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." See, those who hope in the Lord. And so that's where our hope has to lie. It has to lie in the Lord. Because if I hope in anything else, I'm hoping in something that's not solid. If I hope in a friend, you know, people can be fickle. And we want to think that that friend is solid. And hopefully they are. Hopefully their hope comes from the Lord. But truthfully, the only solid foundation where we can put our hope is the Lord. Anything else in this world can shift and move. I was even thinking about mountains. You know, mountains are solid, or so you would think. But then we see Mount St. Helens, That one didn't last. You know, eventually that one blew. And so even a mountain is not a place to put our hope. You know, we cannot build our hope upon anything else but Christ. Jumping over here to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, if I can get the right page for you here. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And that's biblical hope. That's what I want to talk about. Hope in the Bible is synonymous with trust. Hope in Christ goes hand in hand with trust in Christ. When I say I have hope, what I'm saying is I trust that God will keep his promises to me. I trust that God is faithful. And I trust that Revelation chapter 22 is true. That all of these nasties, all this sin, all this pain, all the heartache is going to go away eventually. But that hope can't be in something else. It can't be in anything that's temporal. So my hope is in something eternal. Otherwise, when the bad days come, and they will come, I'll lose sight of what hope I do have. 1 Peter 5:10, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while," Peter says, "will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." That's the hope right there. See, we don't get to avoid suffering. We cannot put our heads in the sand and avoid suffering. Suffering will come to us. But we can trust in the one who, like it says here, will himself restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. We can't do it in our own strength. None of it. We weren't built that way. We were built... You know, our purpose, I believe, in this life is to enjoy being enjoyed by God. We were made for his pleasure, and we were made to enjoy him. It's that simple. And in that, we find hope, because he made us. He is eternal, and he made us to be eternal. And all we have to do is accept the free gift of salvation that was paid on the cross. Franklin Roosevelt said, "We have always held to the hope, the belief, the conviction that there is a better life, a better world beyond the horizon." And there is. I don't know if he was a Christian man or not. I don't know if he was a believer, but what he says is absolutely true. And what he says, it could come from the pages of the Bible, because there is a better life. There is a better world beyond the horizon. We can't see it because we are so temporal. We have this temporary mindset that tomorrow is going to suck too. But that's not the case. That's why we have this eternal hope. That's why when Christ left, he sent us the Holy Spirit. It was almost like a down payment or a promise. And the Holy Spirit is a promise for things to come, that he will return and he will bring us home to him. We do have a future and a hope. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Now, this man was a reverend, right? So he knows what he's talking about. We must accept finite disappointment because we live in the world, right? We live in material and in the flesh, and that's finite. But never lose infinite hope. God himself is infinite. God himself is eternal. That's where our hope comes from. And if we lose sight of that, we are lost. Hold on to these things. Hold on to hope. Hold on to a trust in Christ that these things will pass, that one day we will be with Him where there will be no more tears, no more suffering, no more heartache. Finally, John Piper said the following: darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. The temptation to quit is huge. Don't. You are in good company. You will argue with yourself that there is no way forward. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can conceive. Wait, pray without ceasing. Hope. See, God knew that we could not reach heaven on our own. He knew that we couldn't do it on our own. He knew that there was no way for us to climb and ascend that high that we would be able to reach Him. He knew that. He's always known that. And so instead of letting us keep trying and trying and trying, and like many other religions, keep wondering, have I done enough? Have I done enough to secure my own salvation? That's the difference between Christianity and every other religion. In every other religion, it says you try harder and harder and harder and do more and more and more to reach God. This is where Christianity is unique. This is how I know this is not made up, because mankind would not come up with something like this. Mankind would not have its Savior come and die a humiliating death to redeem us. So that's one of the reasons I know Christianity to be real. See, the difference between every other faith and ours is that instead of us working our way to Him, He willingly left His throne, came to earth. He came to us. Not only did He come to us, He was born to a peasant in a manger. And in case you don't know what a manger is, it's something that livestock eats out of. So there He was, placed in this feeding trough, essentially. Grew up not being somebody who was good looking or of great stature or anything like that. He was like you or me. And He took the sins of all mankind upon Himself, and He died on the cross. What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Him? It means we die to self. And when I die to myself and I take up the purpose that He has established for me, I find hope in that. Because I'm doing work for my King. I'm no longer doing work for myself. I'm no longer trying to promote myself, trying to be remembered or anything like that. What I'm doing is I'm working to please my Father in heaven. The one who made me, the one who died for me, who paid the price that I should have paid. Because of my sin, I should have died on that cross. I deserve hell. But because of what He did for me, He has paid for my ticket to eternity. So that's where hope should come from. Your hope should come in your faith and your trust in God. All things work together to those that love Him, right? He says that He knows the plans He has for you, plans of a future and a hope. A hope. That's what keeps us going, so don't lose that hope. And if you feel like you have, come back to the cross. Come back to the cross and look what He did for you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Please let this word be conveyed properly and received properly. In Jesus' name. Hey, if anybody needs to reach out to us. We do have resources, and I know tough guys, tough gals don't often want to receive those resources, but do it anyway. Do it anyway, not for yourself. Do it for your loved ones. And we'll see you next time.